time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Hello. Thank you. Welcome to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie. And last time we were reading The Big Green Books of Beginner Books. I know that was the last show. And by the way, the book was by Dr. Seuss. We were on the last story, but we didn't get to it last show. So let's read it now. It's called "I Am Not Going to Get Up Today" by Dr. Seuss. Please let me be. Please go away. I am not going to get up today. The alarm can ring. The birds can peep. My bed is warm. My pillow is deep. Today is the day I am going to sleep. I don't care if kids are getting up right now all over town, but I'm the kid who isn't getting up. I'm staying down. All around the world, they're getting up, and that's okay with me. Let the kids get up in Switzerland or Memphis, Tennessee. Let the kids get up in Alaska and China. I don't care. Let the kids get up in Italy. Let the kids get up in Spain. Let them get up in Massachusetts and Connecticut and Maine. Let the kids get up in London and Paris and Berlin. Let them get up. Let them get up all they want to, but not me. I'm sleeping in. I've never been so sleepy since I can't remember when. And you can take away my breakfast, give the egg back to the hen. Nobody's going to get me up no matter what he does. Today's my day for woozy snoozies. Zizzes, zizzazzas. You can take on my feet and you can shake my bed, but you can pour cold water on my head, but you're wasting your time, so go away. I am not getting up today. In bed and where I'm going to stay, I don't care what the neighbors say. I've never liked them anyway. Let them try to wake me. Them scream and yell and yelp. They can yelp from now till Christmas, but it isn't going to help. My bed is warm, my pillow's deep. Today is the day I'm going to sleep. I don't choose to be up walking. I don't choose to be up talking. The only thing I'm choosing is to lie here woozy snoozing. So won't you kindly go away? I am not getting up today. You won't get me up with a strawberry flip. You won't get me up with a marshmallow dip or a pineapple butterscotch ding dang do. My tongue is asleep and my teeth are too. You can try with dogs and roosters. You can try with goats and geese, but I'm going to go on snoozing. You can bring in the police. You can print it on the paper, spread it on the news all over the town, but nothing's going to get me up today. I'm staying down. You can shoot me with peas and beans. You can bring the United States Marines. You can put the whole thing on TV, but I won't get up today. Not me. Nothing's going to get me up. Why can't you understand? You'll only waste your money if you hire a big brass band. That's why I say, please go away. I am not getting up today. I guess he really means it. And that was never mind. There's one more page. So you can have the egg. So that was "I Am Not Getting Up Today" by Dr. Seuss. And that was the end of the Big Green Book of Beginner Books. So, on to our next book, called Be Yourself, by Charles M. Schnuck. And it's with the Peanut Group, I think, from Charlie Brown. I think they're the Peanut Group, I don't really know. Just like Charlie Brown, Snoopy, Linus, and Lucy, and the whole Peanuts gang, you can be the best person you can be. Let yourself shine. Be yourself. Be a friend. Friends like Snoopy come to the rescue. Marcy counts on her friend Peppermint Patty in tough situations. To my... To my sweet baboo, be loving. Lucy is... don't know his name. Schroeder's number one fan. Snoopy, the affectionate beagle, is at it again. Snoopy and Charlie Brown are made for each other. Linus and his blanket love at first squeeze. Be determined. Here comes Charlie Brown. Try again, Charlie Brown. Good grief. Be helpful. Lucy isn't the expert, can solve any problem. This beagle is always a lending and helping ear. Be active. Snoopy and Linus go head to head, and they're off. We have a winner, which is Snoopy. 1, 2, 3. Let's tee off. Kick that football clear to the moon, Charlie Brown. Be creative. Winning a creation is enjoyed by everyone. This creative beagle has never had too much inspiration. Believe. Be yourself. And that was Be Yourself by Charles M. Snoltz. I think that's how you say it. And now let's read Curious George, Dinosaur Discovery by Margaret and H.J. Reyes. This is George. He was a good little monkey and always very curious. George loved to go places with his friend, the man with the yellow hat. One of their favorite places to visit was the Dinosaur Museum. Today is a special day, George's friend said. We are going to see something very interesting. George was curious. What could be more interesting than a trip to the Dinosaur Museum? The man with the yellow hat led the way through the museum. George wanted to stop and look at dinosaur bones, but his friend kept going, so George kept following. Finally, they walked right out the back door, and a man was waiting for them outside. "Climb in, George," said the man with the yellow hat. George looked out the window as the van drove off. Where could they be going? At last, the van reached a rocky quarry. Dozens of people were there. Some were digging with shovels, others were using pickaxes and other kinds of tools. "Surprise," George's friend said. "We're going to help the museum scientist dig for dinosaur bones." George was curious. Were there really dinosaur bones buried in the quarry? He ran over for a better look. "Hello," said a friendly scientist. "Are you here to help with the dig?" George watched the scientist work. She dug up some dirt and put it into her sifting pan. Took a long time to sift it, and in the end, no dinosaur bones. "Oh well," she said. "Time to try again." But the next pan was empty too. So was the next one, and the one after that. George yawned. So far, digging for dinosaurs was not as fun as he expected. George was curious. Could he help find dinosaur bones? He found a spare shovel lying nearby. He dug and dug, but he didn't find any dinosaurs. Then he climbed out of his hole. George spotted another scientist who was dusting something off with a small brush. "Oh well," scientist said. "It's not a bone, it's just a rock." George wanted to help. He picked up a brush and went to work. It turns out monkeys are not very good at dusting. As he hurried away from the cloud of dust, George bumped into a wheelbarrow. Maybe there was dinosaur bones in it. He climbed it up to look inside, but the wheelbarrow was awful tippy. Crash! George and the wheelbarrow and a whole lot of dirt went flying. "Hey," someone cried. What's that monkey doing?" George scampered away straight up into the cliff. Monkeys are good at climbing, so George kept going higher and higher. When he got to the top, he accidentally knocked the stone over the edge. Then another stone, which hit another stone, and another. Oh no, it was a rock slide. But it wasn't a very big one. It was probably like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 rocks. Not that big. The man with the yellow hat called for George to come down. George wanted to climb down. George wanted to climb down, but he was afraid of the scientist of being angry with him. But the scientist didn't look angry. "Look," one cried. "Look what the monkey just uncovered." George could hardly believe what he saw. Dinosaur bones! After that, the dinosaur dig was even more fun. George helped the scientist dig and sift and dust. And take photographs of the bones he had found. And the next time he and the man with the yellow hat visited the dinosaur museum, George got to see his dinosaur on display. Well, you know what? Let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm.
Have we got a show that will keep you on the pulse of the fashion world? Our hosts are two teens who know fashion, and they have the inside look when it comes to fashion for our generation. Tune in to Fashion Forward on Voice America Kids. We'll discuss what's hot and what's not, the latest in fashion trends, things to look for on the horizon, and more. Fashion Forward is your weekly guide to what to wear today, tonight, this weekend, and this season. Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Fashion Forward on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference. Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm. I already said that. Dang it, I keep messing up on that. Well, I might as well just say it twice if I keep doing it, so. And we're reading books, and we just finished Curious George's Dinosaur Discovery. Now we're going to read I Don't Want to Take a Bath by Julie Skykes and Tim Warrens. This book was actually my sister's, but then she gave it to me. So, just to let you know. Little Tiger had spent the whole morning playing exciting games. He didn't mean to get dirty, but afterward, Mommy Tiger said, "Little Tiger, you need a bath." "I don't want a bath to take a bath," Little Tiger answered. "Bathing is fun," said Mommy Tiger. And she took him down to the river to clean him up, but Little Tiger wouldn't get into the water. "I don't want to take a bath," he cried again, and he hurried off into the jungle before she could make him. First, Little Tiger visited his favorite friend, Little Monkey. They climbed trees and swung from vines. Little Tiger wasn't good at climbing as Little Monkey. When he fell off, his paws became very dirty. Then Mommy Monkey shouted, "Bath time, Little Monkey," and Little Tiger too. "I don't want to take a bath," cried Little Tiger. And with a flash of his dirty paws, he scurried past Mommy Monkey and toward the bushes. Next, Little Tiger went to go play with his old friend, Little Bear. They crawled through the bushes and searched for ripe berries. Little Tiger got berry juice all over his face. Then Daddy Bear growled, "Bath time, Little Bear, and Little Tiger too." "I don't want to take a bath," said Little Tiger, and twitching his stained whiskers, he scampered past Daddy Bear down to the water hole. At the water hole, Little Tiger met his dear friend, Little Elephant. They started to wrestle, and Little Elephant squirted mud all over Little Tiger's fur. Then Daddy Elephant trumpeted, "Bath time, Little Elephant, and Little Tiger too." "I don't want to take a bath," answered Little Tiger, and shaking his muddy coat, he raced past Daddy Elephant toward the grassy plain. Little Tiger visited his new friend, Little Rhino, next. They charged around in the grass. Little Tiger got burrs in his tail. Then Mommy Rhino roared, "Bath time, Little Rhino," and Little Tiger, too. "I don't want to take a bath," said Little Tiger. And swishing his tangled tail, he galloped past Mommy Rhino back into the jungle. "Mommy Tiger will be wondering where I am," thought Little Tiger, knowing he was probably in trouble. He sadly started for home, but wait, what was that? Little Tiger looked up and saw a handsome peacock showing off his tail. "How beautiful," gasped Little Tiger. "Will you come and play with me?" The peacock turned up his beak. "Play with you? No, thanks." "Why not?" asked Little Tiger in surprise. "You're so grubby, you would spoil my feathers," said the peacock scornfully. "You need a bath." And tossing his head, he strutted off. "What an awful thing to say," thought Little Tiger. "I don't need a bath." Little Tiger wandered until he reached the river. Playing with his friends had made him thirsty, and he stopped to have a drink. "Who's that?" he cried, seeing a reflection in the water. "It can't be me. I'm not that dirty." He leaned over to look more carefully, and he fell right in. Little Tiger sputtered to the surface. "It was me," he cried. "What a mess I am." At last, Little Tiger took his bath. He splashed and splashed in the warm water. It was fun, just like Mommy Tiger had said it would be. Once he was clean, Little Tiger climbed back onto the bank and admired his reflection. Wouldn't Mommy Tiger be so pleased? Right then, Little Leopard tumbled by. "Hello, Little Tiger. Will you come and play with me?" Little Tiger looked at Little Leopard's spotted fur and shook his head. "No, thanks. You're so dirty that you would spoil my nice shiny coat. You need a bath." And with the flick of his clean tail, Little Tiger hurried home. And that was "I Don't Want to Take a Bath" by Julie Skykes and Tim Warners. Well, let's read another book called The Rainbow Fish, which I bet many of you have heard of. And I also have the sequel called Rainbow Fish to the Rescue, which we will probably read next. But let's read The Rainbow Fish by Marcus Pisfer. Oh, and just so you know, a sequel is another book that is continuing to the book before it. And so let's start reading. A long way out in the deep blue sea, there lived a fish. Not just an ordinary fish, but a most beautiful fish in the entire ocean. His scales were every shade of blue, green, and purple, with sparkling silver scales across them. The other fish were amazed at his beauty. They called him Rainbow Fish. "Come on, Rainbow Fish," they would call. "Come and play with us." But the Rainbow Fish would just glide past, proud and silent, letting his scales shimmer. One day, a little blue fish followed him after him. "Rainbow Fish," he called, "wait for me. Please give me one of your shiny scales. They are so wonderful, and you have so many. You want me to give you one of my special scales? How do you think you are?" cried the Rainbow Fish. "Get away from me." Shocked, the little blue fish swam away. He was so upset. He told all of his friends what had happened. From then on, no one would have anything to do with Rainbow Fish. They turned away when he swam by. What good were their dazzling, shimmering scales with no one to admire them? Now he was the loneliest fish in the entire ocean. One day, he poured out his troubles to the starfish. Am I really beautiful? Why doesn't anybody like me?" "I can't answer that for you," said the starfish. "But if you go beyond the coral reef to a deep cave, you will find the wisest octopus. Maybe she can help you." First of all, I didn't know starfishes could talk. I know, right? I'm like, I thought starfishes didn't talk. But I guess in this book they can, but I think it would be super, 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 super cool if I had a pet starfish and then it just started talking to me and I'd be like, this is like the best starfish ever. The Rainbow Fish found the cave. Okay, let's get back to reading. The rainbow fish found the cave. It was very dark and silent. He couldn't see anything. Then suddenly two eyes caught him in the glare. An octopus emerged from the darkness. "I have been waiting for you," said the octopus with a deep voice. "The waves had told me your story. This is my advice. Give a glittering scale to each of the other fish. You will no longer be the most beautiful fish in the sea, but you will discover how to be happy." "I can't," said the rainbow fish. But the octopus had already disappeared into the dark cloud of ink. "Give away my scales? My beautiful shining scales? Never. How could I ever be happy without them?" Suddenly he felt the touch light of a fin. The blue fish was back. "Rainbow fish, please, don't be angry. I just wanted one little scale." Rainbow fish wavered only to one. Only one very, very small, shiny, shimmery scale, he thought. "Well, maybe I couldn't miss just one." Carefully, Rainbow Fish pulled out the smallest scale and gave it to the little fish. Thank you very much," said the little blue fish, bubbled playfully, as he took the shiny scale among his blue ones. "A rather particular feeling. A rather particular feeling came over the rainbow fish. For a long time, he had watched the little blue fish swim back and forth with his new scale glittering the water. Before the little blue fish whizzed through the ocean with his scale flashing. So it didn't take long before the other fish was surrounded by other fish. Everyone wanted a glittering scale. The rainbow fish scared of scales and left and right. And the more scales he gave away, the more delighted he became. When the water around him filled with glimmering scales, at least he felt at home among the other fish. Finally, Rainbow Fish had only one shining scale left. His most prized possessions had been given away, yet he was very happy. "Come on, Rainbow Fish," they called. "Come and play with us." "Here I come," said the Rainbow Fish, and happy as a splash, he swam off to join his friends. And that was The Rainbow Fish by Marcus Pestfer. And next, after the break, we will read Rainbow Fish to the Rescue, again by Marcus Pestfer. But for now, let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up, World? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Thank you.
Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
You're a responsible person, and you're trying to do everything you can to save the planet. But are you doing enough? We've got the right person to help you keep on thinking green. Mario Jr. is the host of Alive and Green. The show is all about green tips, staying environmentally friendly, and having fun while doing something great for our Mother Earth. You'll want to check out the show Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. If we all do our part now, it'll only mean a brighter and better future for us later.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie. Okay. I was like confused. Sorry, everybody. Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie, and we are reading again. Wait, did I just do the opener without saying Bookworm twice? I did it! Okay, as I told you before, we are going to read the sequel to Rainbow Fish to the Rainbow Fish. It's called Rainbow Fish to the Rescue by Marcus Pisfer again. A long way out of the deep blue sea, there swam a school of fish. Not just any ordinary fish. Each one had a sparkling silver scale. Ever since Rainbow Fish had shared his scales, they swam together. They played together. They ate together. They even rested together, floating in the shadows of the reef. They were all so happy together, and they had no interest in other fish. So one day, A little striped fish swam through their game in a flash tag. They all stared at him. "Hey," the little striped fish finally said, "can I play too?" "It's flash tag," the little fish said, "and you don't have a flashing scale." Do you have a special scale? Said the striped fish. One of the striped fish asked. "Of course you do," said the fish with the jagged fins. "Come on, let's play," he called to the others. "Don't worry about him." Then all the fish turned away and went back to the game. Rainbow Fish hesitated. He was afraid of losing his new friend. He didn't dare stand up to the fish with jagged fins, feeling afraid of losing his new friends. So he didn't dare standing up to the fish with the jagged fins. Feeling a little ashamed, Rainbow Fish reluctantly swam off to join the others. The little striped fish floated alone in the edge of the reef. He looked less sad as he watched the game. The other fish were having such fun, darting and diving in the deep blue sea with their shiny scales sparkling. Rainbow Fish remembered what he would felt like to have no friends and how lonely he had been with all the fish who ignored him. He had been so proud of his glittering scales that he had refused to share them. No wonder no one had wanted to play with him. But now his friends didn't want to play. And Rainbow Fish soon caught up in the game. No one was paying attention when danger entered the reef. Suddenly, a shark shot like an arrow in the middle of the school. The fish darted in every direction, mangled to escape their hiding place. There is an air crack in the reef. The shark could not reach them. They were safe, but the little striped fish wasn't. Rainbow Fish could keep couldn't keep still. He was so worried. "What's wrong?" asked the skinny fish. "It's the little striped fish," said Rainbow Fish. "He's all alone out there. We've got to help him." With that, Rainbow Fish left the safety of the hiding place. "Let's go," he called. The other fish trembled with fear, but they knew what they had to do. They sped out of the crack after Rainbow Fish. They soon saw the shark, and there was a little striped fish swimming and spinning away from his jaws. Rainbow Fish could see that the little fish's strength was failing fast. "Hurry," shouted Rainbow Fish, and all the other fish swarmed straight for the shark. This confused the shark, because it usually fits swim away from him. He turned this way and that way, snapping his right and left until he was dizzy. The shark almost got the fish with the jagged fins, but he escaped with just a few scratches. Quietly, Rainbow Fish led the little striped fish to safety. "Safety, you were brave," said the little striped fish. "Thanks for saving my life." Together, they watched as the exhausted shark gave up and swam away. When all the fish returned safely to the reef, they welcomed the little striped fish. "Why don't you come and stay and play with us?" said Rainbow Fish, offered. "How can I play fast tag when you don't have a shiny scale?" he asked the little striped fish. "We can play fin tag instead," said the fish with the jagged fin. Touch a fin and you're it." All the fish cheered, and they swam off to play together in the deep blue sea. And that was the sequel to the national bestseller, The Rainbow Fish. This book was actually called Rainbow Fish to the Rescue by Marcus Pisfer. So, now, let's talk about how to get your library card and stuff like that. So, basically, how you get your library card is you go to a library, and you basically go up to the front desk and say, "I would like a library card," and they either send you to the customer service, or they keep you there and then make you a card there. So, they're actually super easy to do. You just give them a couple pieces of information. They give you a library card. You sign it, or you get a keychain. Well, you get both, and you just put your initials on the keychain card or sign the big card. So, and then after that, you can just scan it and then check out your books, and then you can be on your way. But it might be different for any other different libraries, but the one I've went to, which is the one by Paradise Valley Mall. So that's basically what I've been doing, but it might be different for different libraries across the across the state or across the country. So we don't know. Well, I don't know. I bet some of you guys out there know. But different libraries can have different books. So sometimes if you really want a book and they don't have it, you can go to another library and get it. But if you really like that library and you don't want to, like, go somewhere else, then you can just put it on hold if someone gets it. Like, if someone has it, then you can just ask to put it on hold so you can get it right after the person's done with it. That's what I almost had to do with Allegiant, because I finished a couple, maybe a month or two back. I told you guys about Divergent, and since then I've actually finished it, read Insurgent, the second book, and now I'm on the third book in Allegiant. And I bet some of you know about these series, but some of you don't. It's just a really good book, but I recommend it from, like, age 8 to adult. So, it's just a couple, like, intense scenes. But for now, let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Murray, and you're listening to Bookworm.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie, and we are reading, as always. Okay, so I know this was a kind of a long time back, but we were reading questions and answers, animals. Over 100 questions and answers to things you want to know. And I remember we were at the section about bears. And now we are going to read the question. How many kinds of bears are there? There are 8 species of bear. They range in size from the sun bear, which weighs only about 60 pounds, to huge polar bears and brown bears. The brown bear is the most widespread bear. It lives in North America and parts of Europe and Asia. In North America, the brown bear is sometimes called the grizzly. Brown bears have a variety diet. They eat grasses, roots, and berries, but they also catch insects, fish, and other larger animals, as well as scavenging the carcasses of dead creatures, such as dead deer and teals. Which is the biggest bear? The polar bear, which lives in the Arctic. Fully grown males are up to 8.5 feet long. Polar bears have thick white fur to keep them warm in their icy home. They hunt for seals and occasionally also young walruses and birds. Is the giant panda bear a bear? For many years, experts argued about whether this animal should be grouped with bears or raccoons or classed in a separate family of its own. Genetic evidence now suggests that the panda is a member of the bear family. What do giant pandas eat? The main food of the giant panda is bamboo. An adult panda eats up to 33 pounds of bamboo leaves and stems a day. Okay, so if I were to eat... Wait, I don't even know if bamboo tastes good, so I don't think I should even apply that because I don't even think it... what is it? Bamboo actually tastes good because it doesn't really look that good. I mean, people don't really normally eat bamboo, so I would say it's off the menu, so I guess we should just move on. Some today. Pandas also eat small amount of other plants, even some little animals. I did not know that pandas actually ate small other animals. I mean, I thought pandas were just cute little huggable bamboo eaters and plant eaters instead of just, like, sometimes occasionally they eat little people. Excuse me, they do not eat little people. They eat little animals, which still is sad because little animals are kind of cute sometimes. Not if they're, like, like creepy ones, but if they're like like, I don't think I find any animal creepy, as long as it's not like like thinking of behind you being like. So I guess no animal is creepy to me, but maybe to some other people. So, okay. So how many kind of wild dogs are there? There are about 35 species in the dog family, including foxes, wolves, coyotes, and hunting dogs. Wild dogs live all over the world except New Zealand, New Guinea. What?
New Guinea.
I have no idea. So, in a few other islands, all are good runners and hunt other animals to eat. But I knew that these wild dogs ate animals, unlike the panda bear, which I'm still really devastated about, because I thought pandas were just cute little huggable animals, and they turn out to eat small little, I'm not going to say people, animals. Where do giant pandas live? Giant pandas live in bamboo forests in the mountains of central China. Most of these forests have now been made into special reserves to try and protect rare pandas. Some pandas also live in captivity in zoos in China and other countries. The thing is, the word captivity makes me feel bad for the pandas, even though they eat small little animals, but it's true. They are held in captivity, which means they are stuck in a little cage with other pandas, and they can't go free. I feel so bad for them. Okay. What do foxes eat? Foxes, such as the red fox, are hunting animals. They kill and eat small creatures, including rats, mice, and rabbits. But foxes are very adaptable. They will eat more or less of anything that comes their way, such as birds and birds' eggs, insects, even fruit and berries. And more and more foxes in cities are feasting on our discarded food from rubbish bins and compost heaps. I can't not speak today. I said heaps wrong. Heaps. I might as well just say hepatosis if I'm gonna not. Okay. How big is a wolf pack? In areas where there are plenty of large animals to catch, a pack may contain up to 20 wolves. Hunting in a pack means that wolves can come prey much larger than themselves, such as a moose. See, I said moose. It's a moose. Okay, where was I? Oh, okay, I found it. A wolf pack has a home range or a territory which defends it against other wolves. Which I knew that. How do wolf cubs learn to hunt? Wolf cubs learn how to hunt by watching their parents and other pack members by playing. As the cubs run around and pounce on one another, they are also learning how to attack and ambush prey. But the thing is, I really hope that they don't actually eat one another. Because if they're practicing, they might think that if they eat each other, that's still practicing. But I don't know. That just makes me worried. Like, you don't want to watch a pup eat another of its pup. That is just kind of sad and weird. Can polar bear? I literally can't speak today. Now it is just regular, and now it is not like rare for me to say stuff like that. It is now a regular thing that I will mess up words, like the polar bear. Okay, let's try this again. Can polar bears swim? Said it right. Okay, so let's get back to it. Can polar bears swim? Polar bears can swim in, well, and spend long periods in the freezing Arctic water. They are very well equipped to survive the cold. A polar bear has a dense layer of under fur as well as a heavy, glossy odor. It's outer coat, not odor coat. Because that would just be weird if they had an odor coat that made odor. So, odor coat, outer coat, under the skin, it's a thick layer of fat to give further protection. If, I would say if one of us, like humans, didn't, or even our foot in Arctic cold water, it'd freeze in a block. Seriously, you put it in, you lift it out, and it's a block. It's a block. It's just a block. I'm telling you, it's just a block. So, now which one? There's different kind of things in here. I don't know which one to read. Okay, how about I just read, are there bears in the jungle? I think, they are. I thought most bears lived in forests, not, rainforests, but we might get to read more of this book on the next show, but thank you for listening. My name is, you've been listening to Bookworm. My name is Linda Marie. This show is produced by Kidstar for the Voice of America Kids Network. Up next is the track from the Kidstar album of the month. See ya!
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
From Bookworm, and now from the Kidstar album of the month. Here's Mr. Saxophone, Dave Farther, with Mothership.
You and I are on a voyage. Can't you feel the planet move beneath your feet? The ship we're on weighed anchor long ago. It's a few and I to keep us sailing sweet. Saw a red sunrise this morning. The view from in the crow's nest wasn't good. Time for sailors to take warning. The storm on the horizon says we should. Receiving a call from the mothership. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. Sending a signal, it's decoded. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Dip, 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 da, 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 did it, dip. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip. On our journey through the Milky Way, we weather storms of carelessness and greed. Keep your sea legs and your bearings, or we'll capsize on this black and starry sea. With the North Star as our compass, sailing round the warm and shiny sun. We can't afford to go overboard. It's our vessel and our lifeboat all in one. Receiving a call from the mothership. Did, 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 da, 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 did, it, did. She's sending a signal, it's decoded. Did, 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 da, 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 did, did, did. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Did, 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 da, 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 did, it, did. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Dip, 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 da, 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 dip, dip, dip.
receiving a call from the mothership. Di-di-di-da-da-da-di-di-di. She's sending a signal of decoded. Di-di-di-da-da-da-di-di-di. Three dots and dashes can save our ship. Di-di-di-da-da-da-di-di-di. We're all aboard, so let's answer it. Di-di-di-da-da-da-di-di-di.
That was Dave Farber, Mr. Saxophone, from the KidStar Album of the Month. Check it out on our website, kidstar.org.